Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we plunge into what's rapidly changing our world. AI advancements are just moving at an incredible pace, aren't they? Reshaping everything, daily routines, global industries. It feels faster than we can even keep up sometimes. So our mission today is to give you a curated snapshot, a real deep dive into the biggest AI and tech developments from September 17th, 2025. We're trying to cut through the noise, find some surprising stuff, and really help you understand the impact, you know, the real-world implications of all these changes. And we've got quite a bit to cover, everything from how AI might start doing your shopping.
Oh, that's a big one.
To its role in national security, which is getting complex. And robots learning skills in just hours. Plus, maybe even some shifts in, like, personal computing you wouldn't expect. So, yeah, let's dive in.
Definitely. And it's important to see how these things connect, right? They aren't just isolated tech stories. They often signal this bigger transformation happening across society. Foundational shifts, really, not just little tweaks.
Yeah,
that's a great point, foundational shifts. And speaking of foundations, some of the biggest moves are happening right where we deal with money. Google just introduced something called the Agent Payments Protocol, AP2, they're calling it. It's basically a new open framework. The idea is to let AI agents, you know, securely make purchases for you.
Right, acting on your behalf.
Exactly. Right. And it's not just Google pushing this. Get this, over 60 financial and tech giants are backing it. We're talking American Express, MasterCard, PayPal, Salesforce, Intuit. Even crypto players like Coinbase are involved.
Wow, that's some serious buy-in.
It really is. And the core idea uses these mandates for verification. So you give an intent mandate for the AI to, like, search for something.
Okay.
And then a separate cart mandate to actually pay. It needs both approvals.
Mm-hmm.
So that dual approval thing is a key security piece built right in.
You know, what AP2 really does, I think, is it shifts where the financial trust lies. It's not just about AI making things easier. It's embedding this sort of cryptographic accountability into the transaction itself.
Hmm. Interesting.
It could fundamentally change how we think about financial risk, you know, moving maybe from human oversight to these auditable, machine-enforced mandates. Your AI could potentially be a more diligent financial steward than maybe even you are sometimes. That's a fascinating way to put it.
Yeah.
So while AP2 is tackling the security of AI and money, there's this other side of trust and protection, especially around younger users. OpenAI just rolled out new teen controls for ChatGPT.
Yes, I saw that.
They're working on tech that can, like, estimate a user's age based on how they use it. And if it's unsure, it defaults to the teen restrictions.
Which makes sense. Safety first.
Right. And they've added new parental controls, too. You can link accounts, customize things, even get notifications if the AI thinks there might be a mental health crisis.
That's potentially complex, though. Exactly. And importantly, teen accounts will block explicit stuff, self-harm chats, even someone tries to get creative with the prompts to, you know, bypass filters.
Yeah.
But yeah, the question is, does trying to detect age or mental health crises automatically create other problems, like eroding privacy, false positives?
That's a very real concern. And I think even Sam Altman admitted it puts some of their principles in conflict, right? The intent is protection, sure, but the execution.
Yeah.
It definitely sparks that debate about where you draw the line, surveillance for safety versus individual freedom.
Yeah.
And these OpenAI moves, they're happening after a summer with some pretty troubling headlines about AI and mental health situations, plus more regulatory scrutiny, user lawsuits. It really highlights this critical tension in AI development right now.
Definitely a tough balance.
Yeah.
Okay, so shifting from safety to pure creative power. YouTube's been busy. They just launched over 30 new AI tools for creators at their Made on YouTube event.
30? Wow.
Yeah, quite a bit. One of the headliners is VO3 Faster Shorts. It's free for creators, generates 480p video with matching audio just from a text prompt.
So text to video, basically, for short form content.
Exactly. And they've also expanded their auto dubbing. Now it includes lip sync tech across 20 languages. Imagine your video dubbed, but the lips actually match the new language.
That's incredible. Makes global reach so much easier.
Totally. And then AI is automatically clipping engaging moments from long videos into vertical shorts. That's huge for podcasters, anyone wanting to repurpose content easily.
Oh, yeah. That's a big time saver.
There's also Ask Studio, which is like an analytics chatbot. You can ask questions about your channel's performance. And something called Edit with AI that helps turn raw footage into like a polished first draft.
The big picture here, I think, is how AI is just massively speeding up content creation. It's making these really sophisticated tools accessible to basically anyone, often for free.
Right.
It lowers the barrier to entry for high quality production so much. And stepping back, you see how platforms like YouTube are really leveraging the AI innovations from their parent company, Google, to empower their whole user base.
Speaking of immediate value and efficiency, here's a really practical one for personal productivity. Honestly, if I'd had Notion AI back in college for organizing syllabi, maybe I would actually gone to more 8 a.m. lectures.
I feel that.
This feels like a game changer for students, right? You can take a course syllabus and just turn it into an organized notes database using Notion AI.
How does that work exactly?
It sounds pretty simple. You make a new page in Notion, import the syllabus PDF, text, whatever, and then use a specific prompt, something like, let's make a study guide for this course. Include a database for lecture notes each week.
Okay.
And the AI just generates it. A database, pre-filled rows for each week, columns for dates, topics, key concepts, even a review status checkbox, and space for your notes. A ready-to-go study system in seconds saves hours of setup.
It absolutely does. It just removes that friction of getting organized, doesn't it? It lets you focus on the learning.
Yeah.
The AI handles the structure, the grunt work, so you can just dive into the material. It's almost like having a personal study assistant right there.
Yeah.
Bridging that gap between just raw info and usable knowledge.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit, maybe to a more challenging side of AI integration. The whole economic and ethical crossroads. We hear a lot about AI replacing workers, and, well, unfortunately, we're seeing it happen. Fiverr, you know, the global freelance marketplace.
Yeah, I know Fiverr.
They're transitioning to an AI-first company. And as part of what their CEO called a painful reset, they've cut their workforce by 30%. That's 250 people.
Oof, that's significant.
Yeah. The CEO, Micah Kaufman, posted on LinkedIn about becoming leaner, faster, with the modern AI-focused tech infrastructure, a smaller team, each with substantially greater productivity. And it's not just them. TikTok's also been cutting staff, like dismantling content moderation teams in the UK and Berlin, leaning more on AI. So the dilemma is pretty stark. What happens when companies actively choose AI instead of their human employees?
Well, these painful resets, as he called them, they really underscore the very real human impact, the difficult, sometimes heartbreaking decisions businesses are facing in this AI era. It forces us all to confront the ethics of this progress, you know, the effect on jobs, how quickly entire roles can be redefined or just eliminated.
Yeah, it's tough. Now, on a much broader economic scale, the global race for AI dominance is heating up, fueling huge investments. Microsoft, for example, is putting $30 billion into AI infrastructure and operations in the UK over the next 4 years.
$30 billion? Wow.
Yeah, their biggest financial commitment ever in the UK includes $15 billion just to build the UK's largest supercomputer. It'll house over 23,000 NVIDIA GPUs, those chips, that are basically the engine for modern AI.
That's immense computing power.
And Google's not sitting idle either. They're investing $6 billion in the UK's AI economy, too. The British Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, called the Microsoft investment a powerful vote of confidence in the UK's AI leadership.
You know, these aren't just tech upgrades. These massive investments are really strategic plays. They're about strengthening economic ties, sure, but also building up national digital infrastructure, trying to secure a leading position in global AI.
Right.
This kind of money signals a serious commitment to a future where AI leadership is seen as central to national prosperity, national influence. It's a high-stakes game playing out worldwide.
And speaking of geopolitics, on the other side of the world, we're seeing a different angle on this tech race. China's Cyberspace Administration just told top tech firms there, ByteDance, Alibaba, to stop buying NVIDIA's RTX Pro 6000D chips.
The ones specifically designed for the Chinese market, right? Because export controls.
Yeah, exactly. Beijing's basically decided that their own domestic AI processors are now good enough, comparable to those downgraded NVIDIA chips they were allowed to buy. This came after talks with local companies like Huawei. It signals a huge push for self-reliance.
Yeah, that move really underscores this whole point about global tech independence, doesn't it? And trade. It's clearly an industry-wide push in China to build their own self-sufficient system.
Reducing reliance on foreign chips.
Precisely. Potentially reshaping global supply chains down the line. It's a strategic move to secure their own AI future, even if it means passing on some foreign tech for now.
Now, this next story, it highlights a really fascinating clash. Ethics versus governance. Anthropic, the AI developer.
Right, known for their focus on safety. Claude AI.
Right. Well, their usage policy explicitly bans surveillance. And this has put them kind of at odds with, surprisingly, the U.S. government.
Really? How so?
Well, that policy means federal contractors, think FBI, Secret Service, ICE, can't use Anthropic's AI models for some of their official functions if those functions involve surveillance.
Ah, okay. I can see how that would cause friction.
Yeah, apparently it's caused some hostility within the Trump administration. Officials reportedly think Anthropic is using vague terminology to make, like, a moral judgment. They contrast it with OpenAI, which does have specific carve-outs in its policy, allowing legal monitoring by law enforcement.
So it's a real clash of principles, company ethics versus perceived government needs.
Exactly.
It brings up this core debate about how AI should be used, especially around surveillance, citizen privacy. It's a critical discussion, you know, where do we draw the lines as these powerful tools get embedded deeper into state functions?
Absolutely. Okay, let's switch gears again, maybe to the physical frontier of AI, how it's literally changing the real world. A humanoid robot developer, Dyna Robotics, just landed $120 million in funding.
$120 million for humanoids. Who's investing?
Some big names. NVIDIA Ventures, Amazon's Innovation Fund, Salesforce Ventures, Samsung Next, LG Technology Ventures.
Wow, that's a serious lineup. They must have something interesting.
Seems like it. They were only founded in 2024. Their goal is embodied artificial general intelligence, basically. Smart robots in the real world. Scalable, high-performance ones. They have this robotics foundation model. Think of it like a general AI brain for robots.
Okay.
They can adapt to different environments and learn new skills in just hours. They call it out-of-the-box intelligence.
The really key thing there is unlocking these physical agents. That's often seen as the last big hurdle to creating, you know, unlimited abundance for humanity by tackling real-world labor shortages and challenges.
Right.
So that level of investment shows some serious confidence that the next generation of AI is moving beyond just screens and software into the tangible world around us. It's a big step towards more pervasive automation.
And speaking of creating physical or at least spatial things, Feifei Li's World Labs just unveiled a beta world model. It takes a prompt or an image and turns it into a 3D universe you can explore.
Okay, like Google's Genie model.
Sort of, but here's the key difference. Persistence. Google's Genie creates these fun, playful sandboxes, but
yeah,
they kind of evaporate, right? They're disposable.
Mm-hmm.
World Labs, though, stores the coherent geometry and style. You can revisit it, edit it, expand it, even chain multiple spaces together into larger maps. They don't disappear after your session.
So that persistence is the defining edge. It's the difference between just a fleeting digital creation and building something lasting, like having digital property deeds.
Exactly.
That really shifts it from just being a cool tech demo to potentially an actual creative engine, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Bridging that gap from just convenience to actual production and 3D generation, building coherent digital worlds over time.
Yeah, precisely. And when we talk about revolutionizing production, check out Microfactory. It's a San Francisco company. Just get a $30 million valuation for its factory in a box.
A factory in a box. What does that mean?
It's literally a tabletop kit. Two robotic arms inside a clear workstation. But instead of needing complex coding for workflows, workers just physically guide the arms through the task they want automated.
Okay, like teaching by demonstration.
Exactly. And the AI models watch, memorize, and can replicate the motions in just a few hours. They're getting pre-orders for all sorts of jobs, circuit board soldering, even prepping escargot.
Escargot prep. Wow. So it's not just about selling robots. It's like mini factory as a service.
That's a great way to put it.
Because the speed and the low cost of training,
yeah,
that completely flips the economics of automation, right? It could potentially, bankrupt the old factory model, as some are saying. It just erases that advantage contract manufacturers had with cheap labor and long training times.
When you can create a mini factory in hours instead of weeks or months.
Yeah, changes everything.
Okay, finally, in the autonomous transport world, Bot Auto, based in Houston, they just hit a massive milestone.
What did they do?
Their heavy truck completed a full hub-to-hub run on public roads.
Yeah.
Day into night.
Yeah.
With zero human intervention.
Zero, meaning?
No driver in the cab, no co-pilot, no one remotely controlling it with a joystick, not even a chase car following behind, nothing.
Wow, that's truly autonomous then.
Yeah, and they stressed it was designed for no humans from day one, which forced their whole tech stack to handle all the redundancy itself, unlike some rivals who still kind of lean on having humans in the loop for safety.
That completely rewrites the cost base for logistics, doesn't it? Labor just comes off the books entirely. Compute costs go up, sure, but
yeah.
Wow. That represents autonomy getting real, showing the guts to actually cut the cord, a genuinely human-free operational design, not a test with safety drivers, but actual, tangible, humanless transport that hits the bottom line directly.
Amazing progress there. Okay, we've got just a few quick hits before we wrap up. First, Apple. Reports are they're planning their first ever touchscreen MacBook Pro.
Really? After all this time?
Yep, an OLED model that's organic light-emitting diode display, supposedly entering mass production late 2026. Quite a shift, considering Steve Jobs famously said back in 2010 that vertical touchscreens were ergonomically terrible.
Huh. Guess observing how people use iPads finally changed their minds.
Seems like it. Also, Google launched an experimental search tool app for Windows, kind of like Spotlight on macOS. Finds local files, apps, Google Drive stuff.
Oh, interesting. Does it have AI features?
Yeah, integrates Google Lens and has an optional AI mode for, like, deeper answers.
Yeah.
But it's experimental for now, U.S. only.
Got it.
Then there's SpaceX. They're working with chip makers now to put satellite connectivity hardware directly into smartphones.
For that Starlink direct-to-device service?
Exactly. For regular, unmodified phones. They're hoping for early testing by late 2026. Imagine having Starlink connection just built into your normal phone anywhere.
That would be a game changer for connectivity gaps.
For sure. And lastly, that TikTok deal in the U.S. Looks like a buyer's group, including Oracle, Silver Lake, and Andreessen Horowitz, will own about 80% of the U.S. business.
And the government oversight piece.
Right. The U.S. government gets to pick one board member, and Oracle is apparently set to oversee all the American user data. Quite the mix of private money and public oversight there.
Fascinating structure.
So, wow, we've covered a huge range today, haven't we? From really personal stuff like AI handling purchases or helping you study, to these massive global things, national security, huge economic investments, the chip wars. It just shows the sheer speed our world is being, well, re-engineered.
It really does. And these aren't just, you know, separate news items. They're glimpses into these fundamental changes AI is driving across basically every sector. We're talking shifts in how businesses run, how we create content, even how our physical world gets automated and reimagined. And it's all happening at once.
Yeah, all at once is right. Which leaves us with maybe a final provocative thought for you, the listener, to think about. Considering all this rapid change, what part of your life, or maybe your industry, do you think AI transforms next? And what are those unexpected consequences, you know, the good and the challenging ones, that maybe we haven't even started to fully grasp yet? That's it for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.